care anyway. Go ahead. You're a believer. You can do whatever you want. He's a liar. Holiness is unnecessary. As a matter of fact, if you believe that God can cleanse your heart and cleanse out inbred sin, that's unrealistic. That cannot happen. Do not believe him. And I got to admit, the way some people who claim holiness act, you might start believing that. I'm only going to give one preview tonight, Anita, I think. But in a couple nights when I preach, I'm going to be talking about something God gave to me called Strange Waters. And that was after 54 years of pastoring and being I'm a circuit rider for the district, and I visit about 20 churches a year. I speak to the congregation, then I meet with the board, and then I take the pastor and his wife out to dinner to encourage them. And then I fill in, like the last 3 weeks, a pastor had a heart attack, and I've been filling in at Lebanon Wesleyan Church there in Lebanon, Indiana. So I'm still what they call a circuit rider in our district, and I'm still doing that. But, okay, one thing that came to my heart and mind was the book of James. James is very clear. Fresh water and salt water cannot come from the same source. If you have blessings and love coming out of your mouth, and at the same time you have curses coming out of your mouth, what I mean by curses is you're unkind, you're mean to people, you treat people like they don't mean anything, you gossip, you slander. And James said, this should not be. Well, that'll be another sermon. This week, we're going to talk about strange waters. But Satan, he tells us holiness is not necessary. He tells us compromise is normal. It's okay to compromise. It is. It's a normal thing. Everybody does it. No, they don't. And he says this for sure. Purity of life and holiness, it can't be done. It's not realistic. You're going to find out. And you know what? That's partly our fault. I'm going to talk about that tonight just a little bit. I want to talk about holiness tonight. And I'm going to talk about what holiness is not. Now, most of this here is not original with me. What I mean with that, the main line's not original with me. I don't know what they said because this was a long time ago. But I had the privilege of sitting under Dr. Tom Hermes, and he talked about what holiness is not. Then I had the privilege of sitting under Dr. Wayne Caldwell, and he taught what holiness is not. And then when I taught scriptural holiness, I was trying to remember what college I taught it. Well, I taught it at Circleville Bible College at Ohio Christian University. I taught scriptural holiness as a class. The first thing I want you to understand that when God cleanses out your carnality, you do not become a mentally perfect. You just don't. You make mistakes. You can say something and you think it's true, but it's not true. How about this? Tab calls me and says, "Hey, Dr. Joe, I'm going over to the gym to work out." And then Corey comes over to see me, and he says, "Dr. Joe, where's Tab?" I said, "Oh, he's over at the gym working out, and he decided not to go. He went down to the Burger King and got him a strawberry milkshake. He didn't go to work out." And here I told you something that wasn't true, but was I lying? Absolutely not. But we're not mentally perfect. We're not. We're not emotionally perfect. And we're not personality perfect. Let me tell you something. I was an extrovert before I got saved, and guess what? I'm still an extrovert. You don't start breaking, it doesn't break old habits. It doesn't develop new habits. That's part of the discipleship journey. That's part of this. It is not an event. And I believe over the years, we in the Wesleyan Arminian persuasion, too many times, we turned this into an event. Once you surrendered your life to God and you claimed to be filled by the Spirit, you had reached the pinnacle. Matter of fact, it was time to call the hearse. You were ready to go. You didn't realize you had a life to live. It's not an event, it's a lifestyle. And hear me, it is God's plan. Somebody would ask me, why are you a Wesleyan? And I'm not talking about the Wesleyan denomination. That's a long story how I became a Wesleyan, because I was Church of Christ Christian Union. But God led me to a Wesleyan. Well, I'm not going to tell that story. I'm not going to segue there, because that'll take a while. But somebody will say, well, tell me about you. Your walk as a believer. I want you to know that I was born again by Christ. I'm a brand new person. All old things were passed away. All things become brand new. I was no longer an alien. I was now part of the family. I was part of the family of God. That's when I got saved. But I am a Wesleyan Arminian on purpose. I absolutely believe what is preached in the Holiness Church, the Wesleyan Arminian way of seeing Scripture, is true. If I didn't think it was true, I would not be part of this denomination or part of this movement. Here it is. Holiness is a spirit-empowered life shaped by God's Word, confirmed by real experience, expressed not just by what we say, but the power of God in our lives. You can see Christ in who we are and what we do. He equips believers to serve God and serve others. And then we can keep the greatest commandment. We can love God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind, with all of our strength. Wait a minute. How much am I supposed to love God? With all that I am, every part of me. And then he says, wait a minute. The second is the same as the first. You have to love others. Well, that's where the rubber meets the road. You have to love others. You have to love others. This is based on God's word. Holiness is not about external performance. And that's another place we made mistakes for so many years. It's how you look and how you smelled. You know, did you cut your hair a certain way? Back when I first became a believer and I was part of the Wesleyan Holiness movement, you couldn't have one of those beards. Oh, no, 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 no. As a matter of fact, I had sideburns. And I had a guy who was Wesleyan just like me. Well, he wasn't. He was part of another movement who called themselves Wesleyan. But he believed if I had sideburns, something was wrong with me. I couldn't be saved. No, you cannot be saved and have sideburns. That's another day, and some of you probably lived through that day. I'm glad bald head wasn't part of the list. Listen, what holiness is, it's about internal transformation, where God shapes us into the likeness of Jesus. He shapes us into the likeness of Christ. And this is done through the power of His Holy Spirit. Listen, we live in a day. Aren't you glad he said, I'm going away, but I'm sending my Spirit. And he's going to walk with you and talk with you and lead you and be in you. Now, I underlined this, circled it twice, highlighted it in orange and green. Sin enslaves. Holiness liberates. Sin fractures. Holiness restores. Sin darkens every place it goes. Holiness, through Jesus, brings the light of the gospel. I say, praise the Lord. And when the scripture says he sanctifies you through and through, he's not restricting your joy, he's releasing it. I say, thank you, Jesus. Holiness is based on the word of God, verified by personal experience. He equips believers so we can be exactly who it is he wants us to be. Now, I'm going to go through an entire book tonight. I'm going to try and go through it quickly. But if, go ahead and go to the next, First Thessalonians, and I'm going to use that as a background scripture. That entire context gives you a picture of what the church ought to be and holiness. And I'm just going to read, I'm going to be going through it pretty fast, but there are certain scriptures I need to read. When Paul wrote this in chapter 1, he said, Paul and Silas and Timothy, to the church of the Thessalonians in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace and peace to you. These are believers this book was written to. Listen what Paul says next. And I'd love for God, for him to say this about me. We always thank God for all of you and continually mention you in our prayers. We remember before God and the Father your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. I say, wow! Wouldn't you love that to be said about you? You became imitators of us and of the Lord. You welcomed the message in the midst of severe suffering with the joy given by the Holy Spirit, and so you became a model to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. Wouldn't you like to be, wouldn't you like for God to say that about you? You're an example to others. That's the kind of life you want to strive to live. That's really what holiness is all about, where you can love God with all that you are and love others as you love yourself even more. Well, let me keep going through this. I'm going to go to chapter 2. Chapter 2, verse 13. And we also thank God continually, because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as a human word, but as it actually is, the word of God, which is indeed at work in you who believe. Wow. Wouldn't you love for God to say to you, you know what? I see my spirit working in you. I'm so thankful to be part of this family with you. And then also, then in chapter 3, he says, but Timothy has just now come to us from you and has brought good news about your faith and your love. That was their current stand. And then we'll go down to verse 8 and 9. He says, how can we thank God enough for you in return for all the joy we have in the presence of our God because of you? Wow. But then he says in the next verse, night and day, we pray most earnestly that we may see you again and supply what is lacking in your faith. That's from the NIV. I'm going to read this from a different translation. Night and day, praying exceedingly that we might see your face and we might perfect with that which is lacking in your faith. And you say, well, what is that about? Well, verse 12 says it. And the Lord will make you to increase and abound in love toward one another. You got, how many of you have unsaved loved ones? You know, we're never going to reach our loved ones if we're not showing the love of Christ in our relationship in the church. Jesus made it clear. You know, the night he was betrayed, that's one of the most awesome sections of Scripture. You read John chapter 14, 15, 13, 14, 15. Well, there he says, I'm the vine, you're the branches. He says, you can do nothing without me. But he also says in that section of Scripture, how will the world know that you're my disciples? That you love one another. By this, the world will know that you are my disciples. I believe that's part of the holiness journey. We should see the love of Christ expressed in our relationships. And I say, oh, I tripped. I'm okay, Kathy. Listen to me a second. Because part of holiness, it's embodied in the flesh. And it's all about relationships. It's my relationship with God. It's my relationship with others. And I'm going to tell you something tonight. It needs to be seen in our relationships. In chapter 5, he says, rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you. And then in verse 23, he hits the nail on the head. May God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. Now, I know there's a group out there and people who say, oh, that means you sanctify a piano. And you can do, people do that. You can sanctify a church building. You can sanctify a house. But that's not this word. This word is the Greek word hagios. This is talking about make someone clean. To make you clean. I say praise the Lord. May God himself, the God of peace, make you clean through and through. May your whole spirit, your whole soul, your whole body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. Let me read that from the New Revised Standard Version. May the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely. That's a huge word. That's why we call it entire sanctification. We're not talking about the fact that the job is done. We're talking about that it's all inclusive. He sanctifies you entirely. And may your spirit and soul and body be kept sound and blameless. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. I believe that with every fiber of my being. I'm going to move into something tonight that God laid on my heart. I was reading this. That's one of my favorite books in the Bible if I really want to understand what Christianity is and what holiness is, especially if I want to understand that second work of grace. But I want to clarify something tonight. I'm going to look at that book of Hebrews. And as Pastor Corey said this morning, Evangelist Corey said this morning, Sabbatical Corey said this morning, and he said it true, Hebrews is not a letter. Hebrews was written to the general church. So that, you're right, I would call him a preacher. This is a message. The Jews have been scattered all about the diaspora. Their family turned against them. Their towns turned against them. Their friends turned against them. The minute they declared Christ as their Savior, they became outcast and they were dispersed throughout the diaspora. That's the Roman Empire. And as they were going throughout the diaspora, he says to them, and I love this, and I got this from four translations, and I looked it up in the Greek, and listen, this is what it says, and I believe this is what it means. Hebrews 12:14, NIV, make every effort to live in peace with everyone and to be holy. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. The New Living Translation, try to be at peace with everyone. It's amazing to me when somebody, you know, they're just not getting along with people, and then they say to me, well, it's their fault. And we're talking, and I'm their pastor, and they say, well, you don't know what they've done to me. And my answer is always simple, but I know what he did for you. We are to do our best to get along with people. If there's a problem, we need to settle it through love and grace. Listen, try to be at peace with everyone and try to live a holy life because no one will see the Lord without it. New Living Translation. I remember, Dr. Carter, I used to love the Phillips Translation. I would call the Phillips the Message Bible before there was a Message Bible. And this is how Phillips translated it. Let it be your ambition to live at peace with all men and to achieve holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Of course, the King James Version says, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Now, I've had people in the Holiness Church misuse this. I've actually heard preachers preach that if you do not have the second work of grace, you cannot go to heaven. That's, again, Satan doing his lies. Because holiness is not something that just starts with the second work of grace. Actually, God starts working holiness before you're ever saved. There are two doctrines that John Wesley practiced and preached, and one of them got him kicked out of the church. One of them, he believed in something called prevenient grace, based on Scripture totally. And I do too. I believe God starts working on you long before you're saved. But he also believed in something called assurance. And when John Wesley said, "I know I'm saved," the Anglican church said, "Enough of this. You cannot know you're saved. You cannot know if you're part of the elect. Only God knows that." And Wesley said, I have the assurance. And that's what he said when he stood up and said at Aldersgate Street, "There's a strange warming in my soul. I know that Christ forgave me of my sins." Well, I'm going to tonight in go ahead and put that next slide. Go back to the next slide. Go past that one. Maybe it's past that one. Go back. I think we went a little bit too far. Go ahead and go back. There it is. That's what I want. One day I was reading this and working on it, and God gave me this chart. Now, it's not copyrighted, and it's not. It doesn't have Well, when you do research, you have to give people the credit, because this is something God gave me. Because this is the journey. This is the journey of sanctification. This is the journey of holiness. Sanctification is not a one-time event. It's a lifelong journey. It does start with, and that's why without holiness, you're not going to see the Lord. Listen, I'm going to give you a few works. I'm going to give you a few things about prevenient grace. Before you ever reached out to God, God was already reaching out to you. He absolutely was. In prevenient grace, it's all about God initiating His love. It is universal grace. It's extended to every person, not just a certain elect. It is enabling grace. God even gives us the grace to have enough moral freedom to make the right choice. In prevenient grace, God, it's awakening grace. Before I met Jesus Christ that day in Beckley, West Virginia, I was a mess. I remember in Vietnam, we'd argue about God. I had a friend who was a Mormon, had another friend, and we'd be drinking our brew, and we'd be talking about the Bible. And I remember saying, "I'll tell you one thing," because one of them said, "Hey, it's a Trinity. They're all one." And I said, "That can't be. It's the Father, the Son, and the Spirit." And I argued, and then I found out after I became a believer, it's a Trinity. The awakening grace that God brings to us, He stirs our conscience. He softens our heart. He creates in us spiritual hunger. Aren't you glad for the prevenient grace of God? And then He also brings convicting grace. God creates that spiritual hunger, and He reveals to us there's something wrong in our life. There's sin. We need to repent. But boy, aren't you glad that in prevenient grace, there's that inviting grace where He whispers, "Come home. Come home." Almost like the prodigal son's dad, the real hero of the story. Stand there watching for him, waiting on him. Come home. Come home. God is always the first mover. No one has gone too far. I want you to know that. You might meet people you think have gone too far, but I'm glad to say that in God's prevenient grace, no one has gone too far. Prevenient grace makes the gospel truly good news, because God is drawing every person. Christ died for every person. The Spirit is working on every person. But through prevenient grace, He brings us to this place. Now, I'm going to use something tonight I call change points. I could call them crisis points, but I thought it'd be easier to understand change points. Every time in this journey, there's a change. And that change is Like that. Like that. The first change is initial sanctification. It's salvation. Right there, God takes care of the acts of sin. All the stuff you have done in your life, it's washed away. You're just as if you had never sinned. You become a brand new creature. It's initial sanctification. Now, when you get saved, you don't grow into salvation. You don't become a Christian because you follow a certain creed. When you become a Christian, you ask God to forgive you. You accept Christ by faith, and wow, you are born again. That's the change point in your life. Now you start the journey of sanctification. Now you start the journey of holiness. That's why without holiness, you won't see the Lord. Listen to this. When you get saved, God gives you the Holy Spirit. Read Romans chapter 5. The Spirit comes into your life. You don't wait till you're entirely sanctified to have the Holy Spirit. You have the Holy Spirit from the day you are saved. Wouldn't you hate to walk one day in this journey without the Holy Spirit? My God. Goodness. We would be a target for the enemy. Then something happens. It's called progressive sanctification. After you get saved, you start to grow. I wrote this on the side here with a pen this afternoon. The growth is slow and steady because it's the renovation of your soul. It takes care of your life room by room, habit by habit, desire by desire. And we call that discipleship. Too many believers give their heart to Christ. You know, you're kind of like that seed thrown on the ground, and the sun comes up immediately and just burns you away. Or the weeds grow around you and the thorns and the hardness of life just kind of suffocates you. That's why, church, listen to me. We need discipleship. We need a place where people grow to be like Christ. We need to teach Jesus as the model. And through the power of the Holy Spirit, we grow and we become. That is called progressive sanctification. And from the moment you're saved, you begin to grow progressively. It's how God works. But if you read Scripture for what it is, you'll come to a place where you realize, now that takes care of the acts of sin. The next step I would call entire sanctification. It takes care of original sin. It takes care of the carnality. It's not something you've done. You got to understand this. When you surrender to God to receive holiness of heart, I'm talking entire sanctification, you're not asking forgiveness. You're asking the wrong thing. He already forgave you. Now you're progressing. What you're asking for is for God now to cleanse your heart, cleanse your soul. It's not something you've done. It's who you are. It's how you were born. And let me tell you something. It's amazing the way the Holy Spirit works. My part in this, and I'll never forget it, is surrender. And boy, that is hard. We can do a lot of things with our life, but surrender? I remember when I first became pastor at Eastview, we had a little old lady there. I did her funeral. She died at 107. Her name was Hazel Young. You remember Aunt Hazel? She was something else. That little old skinny woman, do you know she was married to a pro football player? I didn't know that until I visited her and talked to her. Back in the day, there used to be a pro football team in Fort Wayne, Indiana. And her husband played for that pro football team. Well, Aunt Hazel, her and some of the older ladies, that was one of the funnest churches. When I went to that church, we had like four ladies in there, right at 100. Aunt Hazel, there were just so many of them. And Aunt Hazel and her crew, we'd start singing and stuff, and all of a sudden they'd pour out the white hankies, man. And they'd wave those white hankies. And when our church was running 110, 120, Then all of a sudden we're running 300, and then we run 400, and Aunt Hazel and her crowd, they didn't change a bit, man. The more we grew, the more they waved the hankies. And I found out later that hanky is a tradition. It means you surrender. You're waving the white flag of surrender. You are giving God everything. That's that second work of grace. And again, folks, you don't grow into this. When you reach that place and you surrender, God does the rest. He cleanses your heart. He fills you with His Spirit. And by the way, you think you were growing up here in progressive sanctification? When He takes care of original sin, man, you should start growing faster, growing stronger, because He's taken that original sin out of your life. One of the greatest testimonies of this was when Paul said in Galatians 2, "I am crucified with Christ." And if you read that closely, that word crucified means I die in Christ. Crucifixion was a horrible death. And Paul said, I'm crucified with my Savior. I'm crucified in Jesus. Nevertheless, I live. And the life that I live by the power of the Holy Spirit who is within me. I say, praise the Lord. This is an important part of the holiness journey. If you're going to be who it is God wants you to be, if you want to see the world change through you, you need to make sure you are surrendered to Him. It's the only way we can be who He wants us to be. If I'm not surrendered to Him, do you know who's going to get in my way? I can blame my wife. I can blame the other evangelist. But you know who gets in my way? I'm wearing His shoes tonight. This is a journey, folks, and this is the journey God gave us. It's called sanctification and holiness. And after this, do you know what happens? Progressive sanctification. You grow more like Christ. You grow stronger. And by the way, if you're not growing more like Christ, look at the evidence. Then you need to go back and surrender again because you kept something back. You know, it took me quite a while to reach this place. In my home church, there I know that down that carpet, there was a path, and I made it. Because I walked that aisle, and I know people in that church would go, man, there he goes again. But I knew in my soul, I was saved, but there's something I need. And then one day, I surrendered my soul to Christ, and God did the rest. I say, praise the Lord. Now, I didn't do it on that path. I did it at Ohio Christian University, Circleville Bible College. I was in a class, and right in the middle of the class, I got up and knelt there. The professor was teaching, and the students and the professor all gathered around me, and that day I surrendered my life to Christ, and I knew in my soul that I was now in a new place. Dr. A.M. Hill, I believe, and did I put this on here? Would you go to the next slide and then we'll come back? Go ahead and go to the next slide. Ah, yes. Dr. A.M. Hill, he explains entire sanctification about as good as it can be explained. Entire sanctification is a second definite work of grace. It's not the first work of grace. That's when you get saved. But and when you got saved, it was, you're born again. You don't grow into that. And entire sanctification, when you surrender, it's like that. You don't grow into entire sanctification either. It's a second definite work of grace. You know how it happens? By the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I say, praise the Lord. He comes into my soul. He comes into my heart. And listen, in the heart of the believer, subsequent to regeneration. You got to be saved first. Somebody says, well, I know somebody who surrendered it all on the same day. Well, that's possible. Especially if you meet somebody that's backslidden. And they know first they have to ask God to forgive them, and then secondly, they got to surrender. They got a whole lot of mess. It's got to be cleansed out. It's received instantaneously by faith, by which the heart is cleansed from all inward corruption and filled with the perfect love of God. I believe that's about as good as you can say it, and that is based totally on Scripture. Now, in the holiness tradition, we've messed this up sometime. Sometimes we're guilty of trivializing the call to holiness and turn it into legalism. It becomes a thing and not a person. And like you said this morning, even good things can get in the way. Well, legalism is a terrible weapon of Satan. And sometimes we in the holiness movement, we've let Satan push us around. Today, some have been guilty of forsaking the call to holiness altogether. Because that's old school stuff. Somebody might be sitting out there tonight, and they said, wait a minute, this preacher's old fashioned. Well, listen, if preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ and preaching entire sanctification makes me old fashioned, then Lord, I want to be old fashioned. Today, some are guilty of forsaking this. And we've adapted ourselves to the world. God help us. Others are guilty of marginalizing holiness into personal piety. Personal piety is an important part of the walk. But that's not holiness. It might be a part of your journey, and it might be a part of your call. But holiness is not about how pious you are. It's how cleansed you are. It's how faithful you are to the Christ. Let me tell you something. That's why I'm so glad back at the Promise Keepers days, we come up with that. God is, and some of you probably do it now, God is good. Oh boy, we need to work on that one. When I say God is good, I want you to say all the time, because that is absolutely a fact. God is good. And all the time, God is good. Now let's try that one more time. Because if you believe this, this is something to stamp your belief on. God's not good part of the time. He's not good when things are going good. He's good no matter what. I remember when I pastored in Georgia, half our church were Jamaicans, and maybe more than half. And the Jamaicans, they have a unique culture. Never came to anything on time. I had a wedding, and the family showed up an hour late. It's just the way it was. They were living on island time. It's just the way it was. But my Jamaicans used to always say, how you doing? I'm glad I woke up this morning. And one day I was standing getting my license at the license bureau, and I asked, being me, I asked that people all around me, I said, how you doing today? And they were Jamaican, and they said, oh, I'm glad I woke up today. I said, I am too, but if I didn't wake up, I'd be in heaven. And then all of a sudden they started saying, praise the Lord, we believe that. You know I am blessed on a good day. I know I am blessed on a bad day because he's always with me. His Holy Spirit makes that journey with me. God through Christ forgives sins. That's initial sanctification. God through Christ transfers you from the inside out. That's entire sanctification. And then finally, you now have progressive sanctification, and you come to the end of this journey. Okay, you get saved, it's like that. You surrender, and God cleanses your heart, it's like that. Go ahead and go back to my chart, would you? But all of a sudden, I'm going to come to something called glorification. There's going to come a day. I always like to do this. That's where my life's going to end, right there. I like to say I'm back here. But really, I'm kind of probably, I'll be 80 in 2.5 years. I know you thought I was 57, but I'm 77. My wife always says after the service, get over it. They know you're not 57. You know, I think I'm about here. But I remember that day way back there. Beckley, West Virginia. 22 years old. Married with 2 kids. Been in the Marines and all that. And I was a mess. And that little girl gave me that gospel track. That was an event, I'll tell you. Preacher got up and he preached about the scapegoat and about Christ being the scapegoat. And And when we stood up, my heart was pounding, and all of a sudden, Kathy heads down to the altar. I grabbed the back of the seat, and I said to myself, if you go, they're going to think you're going just because of her. And my heart was pounding. Oh, my goodness. And that day, I asked God to forgive me, and he made me a brand new person. I was born again. I was initially sanctified. I was on the journey. And then up here at Circleville Bible College, in a class, Reverend Don Crooks was a professor. I'll never forget, I got up from my seat and went down to my knees, and that moment, I was entirely sanctified. I surrendered to him. And out here, there's going to come a day. There's going to come a day when this heart, this human heart, stops beating. And when it does, no, I won't be in the valley of shadow of death. I'll be on the other side of that. When I cross over, glorification. Now even the scars of sin are gone. I say praise the Lord. That is the journey of holiness right there. I want to ask you something tonight. And then I'm going to ask you to stand. We're not, go ahead and come for me, Tab, would you? We're not going to take a long time at this unless the Spirit moves that way. Where are you at on the journey? Where are you at on the journey? Are you saved? I'd say you know if you're saved or not. Here's the way to know. Have you asked God to forgive you? And you meant it? And you accepted Christ by faith? You're born again. But maybe you're here tonight and you haven't started this journey yet. You're still in the prevenient grace stage. God is working on you. And you know he is. Wouldn't it be great that if tonight could be the night you could be freed from your sins? Jesus said, I will set you free. And when I set you free, you will be free indeed. I say praise the Lord. Or maybe you're at that stage where you know there's something in here. It's not something you've done, but it's who you are. And you find yourself all the time doing stuff you don't want to do. And God is just pulling you gently to this place where he's saying, it's time for you to surrender to me. And if you surrender, here's what happens. He cleanses your heart and fills you with his perfect love. And then after that, you grow more and you grow more, and one day you're going to reach that stage. So where are you at tonight? Tonight we're just talking about scriptural holiness. We're going to deal with this in a different way starting tomorrow on the 4th. Stand with me. Bow your heads for a moment. I want you to pray for the person standing here in your shoes. Just think about the persons, and if you're barefoot out there, for the person standing here. Don't pray about your neighbor. Don't pray about somebody beside you. Pray about yourself. Think about it. Where are you at on the journey? We're going to sing a song now. And the altar's always open. And also the front pews if you can't come and kneel. But where are you tonight? Look up at me. Where are you? Where am I? If I was not where I'm supposed to be on my journey, God would show me. So if God's speaking to you, why don't you come? He's not doing that to be mean. He's doing it because he loves you. And he wants to change you from the inside out. What are we going to sing, brother? The altar's open.
Freely give. I
Where are you at tonight?
In His presence daily.
He loves you.
I surrender all.
This is what it's all about, the journey.
I surrender.
And Christ makes that journey possible. If you need to be saved, the altar's open. If you want to surrender, the altar's open. Or you can sit on the front pew any way you want to do it. Anybody else? God, listen, I know God is speaking to a few more people here tonight. And I won't drag it out. But don't you hate to stop when you feel in your soul there's somebody out there that Jesus wants to rescue right at this moment from their sins or from their carnality? We're going to close in just a moment. Anybody else? Let's sing that through, Tab, one more time and give people a chance to respond.
All to Jesus I surrender, all to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him in His presence daily.
Have you done this? Faithful to God. I still feel like He's speaking to someone, but you can't drag people. You can't push them. That's why God, through prevenient grace, gently loves. We're going to pray for our dear sister tonight, and we're going to close. Ladies are praying for her, so let's just pray for her as we close tonight. What it takes for wherever you're at on a journey is faith. You got to believe in Christ. You got to believe He's got the power to do it. Amen. Amen. Is it settled? Ladies, is it settled? Ma'am, what's your first name?
Priscilla.
Priscilla, is it settled? You've given it to Christ? Okay, and where are you at on the journey right now? You surrender, the first one? Oh, okay. Well, you know what? God's good, isn't He? How many of you believe that? I'm going to let you go tonight. Shake hands with somebody. Somebody you haven't shaken hands with.
All my life you have been faithful.
Amen.
And all my life you have been so, so